In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I'm reading from 2 Samuel 17, 32. And David said to King Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're just a youth. And he's a man of war from his youth. I'm telling you today that when all odds are stacked against you, they're all stacked against you, and you have God on your side and the anointing on your side, I'm going to tell you, you can defeat any Philistine. You can defeat any Philistine. Depends upon how big your God is. Even Saul, the king, is saying, David, you're a little runt. You've got nothing. How are you going to defeat this man of war? But you see, David had God's anointing. God's anointing. And he had the yieldedness to do what the Lord was telling him to do. And he wasn't afraid. You know, fear is the worst enemy that you could take into your soul. Because, you know, I remember, you know, my parents would never venture out to buy property. They were afraid. Yeah. Who's going to fix the roof? Who's going to collect the rents? And yet, they could have bought property. And they could have made something much more than what they made. But they played it really safe. And they did the best they could. But you know, they could have done much better. But they were afraid. Why? Because the depression had been part of their life. And they wanted security. And you know, this whole thing about security. You know, security is good, but you know, insecurity is best. Because when you're depending upon God, then things begin to happen. You see, when you're going to fight Goliath, you've got to depend upon God. And we're all fighting this Goliath. And you know, we're going to get discouraged. People are going to say, you don't have the power. That's right. But it's not my power. You don't have the right. Oh, I do have the right. I've been baptized and I believe. You know, you're not so bright. That's right. It's not by brightness, I'm telling you. It's by yieldedness. It's by grace. I'm going to tell you, God can defeat any Goliath in your life. It depends on how big is God. And are you willing to step out? Sister Miriam, God inspired her to have a cancer ministry because so many people had cancer. And for 20 years, 30 years, they've been faithful every Thursday to pray with people who have cancer. And people would say, what good is it? People die. How many people have you prayed with that died? But Sister Miriam took out the banner and they started praying and they said, we're going to believe God. He's bigger than cancer. And so they have continued and they have been a light to people on the South Shore, these women that pray for the healing of cancer. Well, maybe you have cancer, and maybe you're saying, you know, that's my Goliath. Well, I say, I want you to measure your cancer, and it's not your cancer. I want you to measure the cancer beside Jesus Christ and his cross, where he defeated it. Maybe you feel you just want to give up today. Because your illness is too much. Let me just tell you, God can use you and bring you to a place that only he can bring you to by the power of his spirit if you would just confront your fear, look at it in the eye, and take Jesus by the hand
Oh yeah, it's easy to say, but when you're trembling, it's difficult. It's so difficult. But you know what? How big is your God? And we say we have faith. How big is your God? Today I read a little article about, you know, imagine. Okay, I'm not talking about John Lennon. I'm talking, you know, this man writes this thing about imagine. Imagine if all the Knights of Columbus went out to a Planned Parenthood and started to pray the rosary, how many children would be saved? Imagine if all the young women in the sodality would go out on another Saturday or a Friday to pray at an abortion mill, how many women would be saved? How many babies would... Imagine they're going to have a men's conference, okay? Archdiocese of Boston going to have a men's conference. Oh, everybody loves a conference, boys and girls. But imagine if these 5,000 men decided to go to Planned Parenthood and sing songs there. Imagine what could happen. But you see, everyone likes a spectator sport. We all like to sit and watch. We all like to just be there and just get excited. No one wants to go by the gates of hell and be persecuted. And yet, imagine what could happen if we defeated Goliath, if we took on Goliath. But you see, we would much rather go to our conferences and be happy that I got another little insight and how to pray better. And, you know, that's all good. That's all good. I'm not condemning that. I'm just saying, imagine if we had people. If we had people who put their lives behind their words. You know what I'm saying? Let me just tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you, St. Paul says, you know, I've worked harder than any one of you. You know, let me tell you, with the election, I got on the radio, and I got on the radio 3 or 4 days telling the people who was for what. And you know what? Even if Brown lost, I did what God was calling me to do. You would never hear that anyplace else. You would never hear that on Catholic TV. You would never hear that on Mother Angelica. But, you know, imagine if one person gets all these people to go out and vote. I'm not telling you I won the election. I'm telling you I did my part. That's all I'm telling you. I did my part. And no one's going to scare me about it. Because this is my country. And Goliath in the democratic machine is nothing as compared to the God that I serve. Imagine if we had courage to do the things that we need to do. Imagine. Imagine what could happen. What could happen. But you see, everybody likes to be a spectator sport. They like to watch David defeat Goliath, but they don't want to be David. Because you know what? That's a risky business. That is risky business. And you just might lose. But you see, even if we lost the election, I did what God called me to do. And I was on the front line where the Lord called me to be. And I wasn't afraid to tell people who was for what. I had that right. I'm still in America. But you see, it's nice to be a spectator, you know? You know, I never liked being spectator. I like getting in the middle of my mother would call it the muina. Wherever you find the Muina, the trouble, you're going to find him. He's always going to be there. He's always going to be like parsley in the middle of the meat, in the middle of something. I always liked heralding causes that are righteous causes. I always liked it. Even when I know that I'm not going to win. But at least one man stands up for it. Oh, when we went to Travellini's house, I knew I wasn't going to win. I knew it, but you know what? At least one man took a stand with other people to let people know that this was a money-making thing and Travellini was going to get rich with it. And they would use individuals. Now, people hate me for doing that. They still remember. They think I had no right to do that. They still look down on me for doing that. But you know what? I did what I had to do. I knew I wasn't going to win. But I knew I had to make a statement because the church wasn't making a statement. But I was going to make a statement. And when the bishop told me to stop, I said, now the blood is on your hands. I will stop. But you see, that's the way it is. You know, I knew I wasn't going to win. But it's not about winning. It's about obedience. It's about doing what God wants you to do. In the face of all odds, you know, I like the song, to dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe. Yeah, I like that song from the Man of La Mancha. I like that song because I want to live it. I want to live it because the foe is beatable in the name of Jesus. And the people that know nothing can do more than the people that know so much. Now, let's look at this, the young man that started Operation Rescue Randy. No. His name is Randy anyway. You know, Randy, whatever, he started Operation Rescue. And you know, everybody thought he was nuts. Now he's a Catholic. And I'm sure everybody still thinks he's nuts. And he wrote a letter to all the bishops. And the letter was talk about, oh, if you could just support all what's happening, send your people and go with your people in front of an abortion mill, you will save children. Now, I knew when he wrote that letter, I knew it was going to fall on deaf ears 99%. But you want to know what? Randall Terry was faithful. He wrote what he had to write. And whether the bishops obey it, follow it or not, Randall Terry is in good standing with the Lord. Oh yeah, when I read it, I said, you think the bishops are going to go out? You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. Oh yeah, today they're going to all be prancing around at Washington tomorrow, you know? It's the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. They're going to be prancing around. And there's no danger there. It's lovely. Everybody's going to love each other. And that's good for people who do pro-life work. But, you know, there's nothing. You save people in front of abortion mills. You save babies by having showers. You save babies by opening your house to unwed mothers. You save, listen, this is, anybody can march in Washington. Anybody could march in Washington. I went once. And it was a snowstorm. We were snowed out. And I said, I'll never come again. But you know what I did that day? I got on the radio, and I got on WROL, and I started to talk to women who were pregnant. We saved two babies on the phone that day. That's a long time ago. They went to see Marilyn at Friends of the Unborn. Oh, yeah! I figured, you know, I'm not marching today, but I'm getting on the radio because I still have a voice. And I begged women who were pregnant not to abort their children, that Marilyn would help them. That's Friends of the Unborn. We saved two babies that day. Because I've got a voice. And I decided I'm never going to go to this march. God snowed me out. I don't need to go to a march. Because, you see, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay, but you know what? It's much more important that I get people to go outside the abortion mill. It's okay, you know? And then with this, the feeding of the poor. The feeding of the poor on Saturday, we've been doing it for over 5 years. You know? I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. But you know what? The Lord got through my stubbornness. And I'm not telling you, my friends, that we've done great things. But I'm telling you, we've been faithful to these people for 5 years. And my house is like a chicken house every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And people are in and out making sandwiches, doing what they need to do. Yesterday, Debbie went to buy hundreds of pounds of chicken. Using my little house to feed the poor. Last night we went to the espousal. We got so many coats, thank you, Jesus, that people brought us winter coats. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. This God at work to care for the poor, to pray for them. You know what my job is? My job is to buy them underwear, gloves, and hats. It's my job. I buy them underwear, gloves, and hats. And one of these Saturdays, I am going to go out. I'm going to start going out with them. I'm going to start going out with them. You see, doing the things that nobody else will do. I told the Archbishop that he was so surprised. He said, "You do that?" I said, "Oh, yeah. We've been doing it 5 years." And I said, "You know what? The people say that your coffee is the best." You know why? Because they know them by name, and they love these people. And chicken, oh, chicken. Listen, I don't know where all the rest of the chicken goes, but we've bought more legs in the last 5 years than you could ever imagine. I don't know where the rest of the chicken goes, but we bought more legs, drumsticks, than you could ever, ever imagine. Tuna fish? Mamma mia. Pounds and pounds and pounds of mayonnaise and tuna fish. Pounds and pounds. We got hams and ham sandwiches, you know. We had turkeys and we cut up that you know, whatever we get, we do. But who'll do these things? But you see, it's not only doing them, boys and girls, it's doing them on a regular basis. Anybody can do it once. You know what I'm saying? Anybody can go out on Thanksgiving, and anyone can go out on Christmas, and anyone could go out on Easter, but it's being faithful every week. That's where you get the merit. You know what I'm saying? That it's every week that people do this. Not once, but every week. I remember after the third week, my friend said, "We need a vacation." I said, "No, no, no. You wanted to do this, it's going to be done every single week because the poor will wait for you and we're not going to disappoint them. They've been disappointed enough." You know, it's this faithfulness to continue. Yeah, just take this radio program. Yesterday was 26 years on WEZE. January 6th was 25 years on WROL. Just faithfulness to speak over and over and over again. I'm not telling you that I'm the best. I'm just telling you I give you what I have. But I've been faithful to it. I haven't let the ball go. I'm going to hold on to the ball because God's called me to this ministry to encourage people. We have over 1,000 people that responded to us last year, over 1,000, and they've responded many times, some of them. They say for every person who responds, it's 55 people. And we've had many letters that had no money. So if there's 1,000, there's 55,000 people listening to me every day. What a congregation. Come to Holy Rosary. It's few and far between. And you know what? I've been saying to the Lord, we're seeing miracles, one right after the other, and still people don't come. But he says, just be faithful. You need that for your humility. Just do what you can do with the people who come. Okay? I don't particularly like that castor oil. But you know what? I'm not quitting. You know, this... Like, same thing with espousal.
No, sometimes I just say, you know what? We've been doing this for 100 years. I was only supposed to do it for 6 weeks. But last night, we had a little boy that came from Rhode Island, 5 years old, prayed for his brain, that the liquid would go from his brain through his spinal cord. We prayed and prayed for three young kids, and we saw one young man, you know, who's got a hard time to walk sometimes, and we saw him healed last night. You know, there weren't many people there last night, but we prayed and we worshipped and we celebrated the Eucharist, and God did some things. You see, it's this continuing of things. It's this faithfulness. It might not be big, but what is big to God? The soul, the person, the heart of a man. You see, stick-to-itness is another thing. You know, maybe that's because I'm Italian and I'm a very stubborn person. You tell me no, and I'm going to just put my feet in the sand and say, don't you dare say no, I'm going to do it. Now, that might not be a good thing, but sometimes it's very good. I'm going to do what nobody else does. And it's going to cost, and I'm going to tell you this, friends, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you life. And it's going to cost you being a sacrifice. Because wherever God is doing something, there's a sacrifice. And the sacrifice is burnt before the Lord in union with the crucified Jesus. But I'm going to also tell you this. It's worth it because you see the increase. It's worth it because you see the daddy who comes from Rhode Island and he's smiling. It's worth it because you get a call in the morning from a beautiful woman who had cancer, who has vertigo now, and you pray over the phone and the vertigo goes this morning. It's beautiful because Glenn, who does our books, yesterday came in hobbling, he couldn't walk, and we prayed over his foot, and now it's 99% gone. It's beautiful to see God doing that. I just want to see God doing that in David, Noy, Jesus, Lord, all these people. Let's just declare it in the name of Jesus. Speak it in the name of Jesus. By the power of his blood, David, be healed in your back now by the blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. All that pain goes now in Jesus' name. At the root of the problem, at the root of the nerves, be healed now by the blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. In Jesus' name, be completely healed, David Noy, of all this pain in the holy, awesome name of Jesus Christ. For we call those things, Father, to be now that are not as if they are. David, be healed in your back, in those nerves, at the core of the problem, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood of the Lamb. Now, now, and everything the devil wrote to keep him down is canceled and nailed to the cross. David, be healed in the holy name of Jesus, by the power of the blood of the Lamb. Now, and other people, you can take it too. God is big. He's a back healer. And let's just declare it. I believe and receive this miracle in faith in Jesus' name. David, be healed by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Christ, by the word of God, the testimony of the saints, and the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, how I would want that to happen to my friend David. But you know what? I'm not going to stop praying till God does it. And if he doesn't do it through me, that's fine. Let him do it through the doctor. I don't care how it gets done. Like who's going to do these things? You. That's right. You. Don't shirk back. You be like David and David and Goliath, and it's not by might and not by power, by my Holy Spirit. Don't you dare shirk back. Stop being a person who just looks on and you're just a spectator. You tell the Lord, I'm available.
and you will face Goliath. Yes, you will, but you will see him defeated. You will see him defeated, and you will see God winning the victory through you. You will see Jesus Christ showing up. But if you just sit down, hoping and wishing, thinking, I'm so poor, I don't have anything, poor me, get over it. We're all poor, we're all broken, listen, starting with me, and we're all victims, and it's time for our victimhood to be used in union with Jesus Christ, and start doing something for God, like Mother Teresa, a nobody, who faced Goliath, and Goliath lost. How big is your God? How big is my God? We haven't even yet started. St. Francis said at the end of his life, I haven't even yet started to serve the Lord. That's right. He was so right. Haven't yet started to serve the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You've got greater things for us. And what is greater? It's the poor and the broken and the needy and those nobody else wants. That's the greater. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, raise up people like David, like Mother Teresa, to defeat Goliath at every bend in the road. Amen. Amen. You might be thinking, I want to be a priest. I'm not able. Get over it. Who is able? Go! Go! Okay. Jimmy the Roofer is available, 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341, and he's also a fix-it man. We're going to be having a School of the Holy Spirit for a whole week starting the 17th of February. That's Ash Wednesday at the Espousal Retreat House. For further information about the School of the Holy Spirit, you dial 781-209-3101. It is not a conference, it's a school. Learning how to minister the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 781-209-3101. 781-209-3101. 781-209-3101. And for Jimmy, 617-519-0341. And would you pray for me that I would be successful in facing the next Goliath? Because he's around the corner. But you know what? It's not by might, not by power, but by my Holy Spirit, says the Lord. And your Goliath is around the corner too. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.